Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news for you. In fact, it's great news. And it comes at the perfect time since we're coming into independence. And we're going to celebrate Independence Day, and we're going to celebrate our independence. Living here, in this universe, we have to remember that we are free. We are absolutely free. We are not robots of any type. There is no such thing as predestination. We have choices, and we have freedom. We have the freedom to become anything we want to become. We have the freedom to do anything that we want to do. And the main freedom that we have is we have the freedom to think anything we want to think. To think anything we want to think. So in religious science, or science of mind, whatever you want to call it, we look at that as total freedom, that we can think any thought that we want to think. And that's very, very important to know, because it's your thoughts that are making your life. Your life up to this point is a composite of what you were thinking all your life. So if you look around and you're not so happy with the results, you can change them. And you can change them by changing your thinking, by changing your thoughts, by changing your attitudes, by changing your opinions, your viewpoints, and your beliefs. That is the way this whole thing works. And that is the wonderful gift that we were given, this total gift of freedom. We are the ones that are making our lives. This thing that we call God created us, put us here on this plane of action, completely equipped to have a wonderful life, completely equipped to thrive in this life. And many people are just surviving because that is a belief system that they have. That is a belief system that they were given either by their parents or some authority figure. And it's also a race mind belief. So we're always living, moving, and having our being in thought atmospheres. And we can pick what thought atmosphere we want to live in. And that is, again, freedom. So this thing that we call God loved us so much that it put no strings on us whatsoever. No strings on us whatsoever. God does not pull strings. God does not keep you from doing anything that you want to do. You are the ones, and I am the one, that keeps myself from doing. And it's done with my thinking. It's done with the doubts that I may have. Oh, I don't think I can do that. Oh, I don't think that that's possible. But everything is possible. And that's what we have to realize. That everything is possible. That this thing that we call God lives in complete possibilities. That's what this universe is all about. This universe is about possibilities. And with our thinking, we attach different things to the possibilities. And we create our life with those. And we can uncreate any time that we want. That's the most amazing thing. People think that they are stuck, that they're stuck with who they are. No, you're not stuck with who you are. You're stuck with who you think you are. You're stuck with the conclusions that you've come to think that is you. But you can change those conclusions. You can conclude that you're completely different. Many times I've talked about this whole idea that here, especially in Los Angeles, we see people reinvent themselves all the time. We see movie stars doing that all the time. So we can do it too. And it should be easier for us since we see other people deciding to change. We can change anything about ourselves that we do not want. That is how wonderful this whole universe is. That is how wonderful this thing called God is. That we are able to change. That we are not cast in cement. And that we have to continue. And many people think, oh, this is just the way I am. This is the way I am because of my parents. This is the way I am because of my background. This is the way I am because of my education. This is the way I am because of my genes. This is the way I am because of heredity. Yada, yada, yada. None of that is true. Nothing on the outside of life has any influence on you whatsoever. It's always on the inside of life. Meaning, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? These are the things that are going to create your experience and going to create your life. So you look at that and you decide, I don't want that. Here's what I want. And then you start changing your beliefs, your viewpoints, your attitudes, and your opinions. And what do you change about that? You change what you think about yourself, the opinions that you hold about yourself. You must always hold yourself in the highest of regard. In the highest of regard. You have to know that you're a magnificent human being, that you are a wonderful human being, and that you're part of this whole thing, that you actually are part of God. So you have to have respect for yourself. Self-respect. In yoga class the other day, we were doing what is called the sleeping tiger. Very difficult, I think, to do, but I keep trying to do it. The one girl afterwards, the master said, and how did you feel about it? And she said, I can't even talk, she said. And tears started to come. She said, I had a moment of self-respect. I had a moment of self-respect. Many people in their whole life never have a moment of self-respect. You have to respect yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to see yourself as a wonderful individualized expression of God. And you have to change your opinions about yourself, your viewpoints, your attitudes, and your beliefs about yourself. The first belief to change is, you are unlimited. There is no limits put on you whatsoever. The only limits that are put on you are the limits that your mind puts on you. And that is your thinking. And you are not your thinking any more than you are your mind. You are pure consciousness, pure spirit. And you can control your thinking. You can control your thinking. Fabulous idea. Fabulous idea. That aunt of mine is going to be turning 95. A couple years ago, I was talking to her on the phone. She's always upbeat. Still lives by herself. Still does all her own stuff. And I said to her, Aunt Catherine, how do you always stay in such good humor, in such good spirits? She said, Dallas, I control my thinking. I control my thinking. And I have seen her in action. Something happened one day and she looked at me and she said, well, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think what I want to think. And she thought what she wanted to think and never let herself get upset. Never let herself get upset. Now here is a woman who figured this all out, living in a small town in Pennsylvania, living out in the country by herself. The only metaphysics she knows are the things that I send her. But she figured it out. And many people, since day one, have figured it out. And now it's time for each and every one of us to figure it out. You see, we go to these centers, these religious science centers. We come to these different teachings and so forth in hopes that we are going to change, in hopes that we are going to find something different. And you can find something different, but you have to change your mind about yourself. You have to change your mind about yourself. You have to see yourself always as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to know that. And then you add the self-respect, the self-love, and you become the most important person in your life. You become the most important person in your life. You see, the world wants to tell you to make other people important, that you're not important, and it's better to serve other people and do other things for other people than to do for yourself. And I'm not going to take that away from anybody, because we're all in this for service. But you cannot give service till you start to give service to yourself. Till you start to love yourself and respect yourself. There is no way that you can go out and help somebody else. That would be the blind leading the blind. And we see tons of that going on out there. And it's not working, is it? It is not working. Social work doesn't work because there's no respect. They don't teach those people to love themselves. They take that away from them instead of giving it to them, instead of building those people up. Yes, they feed them. They give them money. They give them housing. But those people don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel good about themselves. Because no one ever told them that they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. And if they knew those things, and if everyone knew those things, there wouldn't be a welfare system. There wouldn't be a welfare system. Because people would go out and do it for themselves. And do it for themselves. Now, I'm not saying don't help people. What I am saying is, help yourself first. Know yourself first. Know that you're lovable and worthy and deserving, and that you matter first. Then you can show that to somebody else, and that you can help somebody else. The world likes to keep you always in turmoil by thinking that somebody else is worse off than you are, and somebody else needs your help more than you need. Always stay at home. There's an old saying, charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. Everything begins at home. What does that mean? That means inside of you. That means in your home. This home that you're living in. This thing that we call our body is where we live. This is our home. Charity begins there. If you can't take care of your own home, how are you going to take care of somebody else's home? So you learn that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that you matter. These are the things that will absolutely change life. Once your thinking always comes from those four basic elements, your whole life changes because of that. Your whole life changes because of that. It's a wonderful thing. And that's the freedom that we have. We have that freedom to do that for ourselves. We can do it. You see, in the mind of God, it's already done. In the mind of God, everything is already done. In the mind of God, we are already whole, complete, and perfect. Now we have to live up to that idea that God has of us. Because God is so polite that God is not going to interfere with your life. God is not going to do that. but you can interfere with your life. You see, you have the power to create. Everyone is waiting for God to create something for them. God has already created. God has already created. And God gave you that spark of creation, gave me that spark of creation. All that we are creative individuals. We're always creating something. Always creating something. There's not a thought that we have that doesn't create something. It always creates something. It always goes somewhere and does something. And once it's created, it's here forever. Once it's created, it's here forever. So we watch our thinking. We learn to change our thinking. And we learn to see ourselves completely differently. And we give up all those old ideas that we had about ourselves. All those things that we were told as children, all those things that our parents or authority figures told us, and we thought, well, they must be right. They must be right. They told me that. So, they're right. They were not right. They were not right. That was their limitation. And they gave you their limitation. Don't take it anymore. Do it for yourself and see yourself as the wonderful people that you are. See yourself that way and it will work every time for you. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yay. That whole idea to know that you matter and that you really matter. That this thing that we call God would absolutely be incomplete without you. Absolutely be incomplete without you. You are needed. You are appreciated. And you are totally loved. Remember that. Remember that. And start to know it. And start to feel it. And then start to see it. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. We're just so busy sometimes that we don't see it. But it is there. And there is no way that anyone can be less than. You cannot be less than an individualized expression of God. There is no way that anything else is possible. Because this thing that we call God that created you was pure perfection. And perfection could only create perfection. Could only create perfection. So when you see yourself, look at yourself as perfect. And look at the things that you do as perfect. And keep doing them till they become perfect. And don't berate yourself because, oh, I made a mistake or that wasn't quite perfect or that. We're here learning. We're here learning. So have fun with it and learn. But know that your destination is going to be perfection. It's going to be perfection. The world does not want to tell you that. Most institutions do not want to tell you that. Because they think, oh, the whole thing will break down. Everyone will think they're so perfect. Nothing will get done. And whatever they're thinking, let them think what they want to think. But you stay at home inside of your own consciousness and correct that consciousness and see yourself the way you truly are. You see, we're all that. I often say to you, the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There's dirt on that dish. All we have to do is take the dirt off the dish, and the dish is still there. The perfection that you are is always there. Sometimes there's something in front of it. And all we have to do is take that away so that we can see. You see, most of us are looking through filters. We're looking through filters because the eyes see nothing. The mind sees everything. And the mind puts everything together. And we think, oh, we're seeing something. But we're always going to be looking through our perspective. We're going to be looking through our beliefs, our viewpoints, our attitudes. Those are the filters that we put in front of us. And very difficult. That's why we get into trouble, because we believe one thing and somebody believes something else. And we start to argue with them. Don't bother to argue with anybody. Get you nowhere. Just look at them and say, you're right. And then go on thinking what you want to think. Think what you want to think. But know that you're perfect always. In everything, regardless if you have a headache, a pain, an ache, or anything, you have to go to the perfection. You have to go back to the perfection. When you go back to the perfection, there is no pain. There is no disease. Because the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. So we always go to that perfection. We always see ourselves in that light. And what happens with most of us, somebody either insults us or somebody convinces us that we are less than with a remark, with something that they're saying. And they convince us that we're less than. And we accept that. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. Remember what Eleanor Roosevelt said. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You have to consent to do it and to believe it. Don't believe it. Regardless, go back to the perfect, to that perfection that is inside of you. Will always be there throughout eternity. That's a given. Now we have to learn to peel back all that so that we see ourselves in the right light, so that we see the real reality. Because the real reality is always going to be perfection and love. That's the only reality that there is. The rest of it that you're looking at is only an illusion made up by our minds. Made up by our minds. So we can change that. We know that. So that's what to work on always. You see, we think we always have so many problems. There's so many things to do. There's only ever one thing to do. Only ever one thing to do. Find your perfection. Know that you're perfect. If you know that, there are no problems. There are no problems. But we get caught up in the world. And the world shows us all this stuff and says, this is the way people live. This is the way people think. Well, that's not true. That's the way they think. Doesn't have to be the way you think. Doesn't have to be the way you think. You are free. You are free to think what you want to think. See, that's the nice thing, and that's what's one of the reasons that I stayed in religious science all these years. Religious science never teaches you what to think. Never teaches you what to think. It teaches you how to think. You see, there's no rituals. There's no, you must do this, you must do that. No. No. There's none of that in this. We teach you how to think. How to think correctly. How to think correctly about yourselves. How to think correctly about yourselves. Because inside of our consciousness, inside of this mind that we have stored so many memories of people telling us that we're dumb, stupid, whatever. And those things keep popping up. Don't let them pop up anymore. Say, I'm done with this. I am done with this thought. Bring me a new thought. If it comes up again, you say, go back. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You have never brought me any good news. You have never been my friend. Now go back. Go back to the nothingness. And the thought will go away. It is only a thought. And you know perfectly well the things that some people have told you are no longer true. So if some of the things that people have told you are no longer true, why not imagine that all the things that people told you about yourself are not true? You see? And start seeing yourself as perfect, as whole and complete, as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You can do those things instead of allowing those memories and those old tapes to just keep playing inside of your head. I told this story about myself once before. You know, for years, I thought I was a short person. Now, not that I'm the tallest person in the world, but I'm taller than some people. And I got that idea because through omission. My parents never said, Dallas, you're short. They never said that. But they always said, Jack, who is my brother, you know, Jack's tall. Jack's very tall. I thought, my God, he must be 7 feet tall. He's 1 inch taller than I am, I've discovered. 1 inch taller. I always thought he was a giant because they kept saying, Jack's tall, Jack's tall. Then years and years later, I was in New York. And I walked into a room. And I looked around. And I was the tallest man in the room. At that moment, I was able to give up that idea about myself. I was able to give that idea up. That was a conclusion that I came to. And we come to many conclusions about ourselves. Never come to a conclusion about yourself. You are a work in progress. You cannot conclude that the end has come, that you are finished, that this is you. Do not make those conclusions about yourself. The mind loves to do that because the mind always wants you to think that it is you. And it wants to keep you where you are today because it knows you as that. So it loves to say, now, you're this and you're that. You see? And you're none of those things. That's just your mind playing a little game with you. You always do that, it says to you. How many people have that one? Now you know you always do that. See? Don't do that. That's a conclusion that you've come to. What you say is, you know, I used to do that. You're absolutely right. You talk to your mind. You're absolutely right. I used to do that. But I have news for you. I'm not that person anymore. Ha ha. I moved on. I am not that person. You are not the same person that you were this morning when you woke up. You are a different person right now than you were this morning. Why? Because you learned something, didn't you? Something happened in your life and you added something. So you're not the same person. You see, you have to remember that it is impossible to stand in the same river twice. Impossible to stand in the same river twice. Why is that? The water flows through our body. So this morning, you were that. Now that has gone by. Tonight, you're somebody else. Because we're always growing. We're always learning. we're always stretching our consciousness so that we see things differently. So that we see things differently. And that we see ourselves differently. It's always going to boil down to you. You might as well work on yourself now, because that's the only thing that you can work on. You cannot work on anybody else. I would love to work on Rhoda, but I cannot work on Rhoda. Only Rhoda can work on Rhoda. And only I can work on me. So I'm always staying at home, by the way, working on myself. It gets very interesting. Very fun, too. But that's the whole thing. Learn to work on yourself. Learn to reinvent yourself. Learn to expand yourself. Learn to do new things and see yourself in a new and different way. All the possibilities are there. And you have all those qualities inside of you. You have everything you need inside of you. You did not arrive here on this plane of action with an empty suitcase. If you'd open up that suitcase or the toolbox that you came with, you'll see that it's just jam-packed with stuff. You see, we're not thrown down here with nothing. Everything that we need to survive is here. Everything that we need to thrive is here. And it's all contained in our consciousness, which is our thinking. All contained, in there. So you have to look and see what's inside of me. It's there. If you think, oh no, I can't think that way, you're much better. You've read more books, or you're further ahead of me, this, that, and the other. No, that's not true. No one's ever further ahead than anybody else. Anything that I know, you can know. Anything I can do, you can do. And vice versa. And vice versa. So give yourself credit for all the knowledge that you have. And then put this teaching to good use. Make it work for you. It works. I wouldn't have been in it all these years if it didn't work. And each and every day it works more and more and more. It always is working in a wondrous and marvelous way. And when you were children, if you went to church, you heard that God works in strange and mysterious ways. And that's absolutely true. But they're wondrous ways. So think of that, and think of all the wonderful things that happen. Just when you think nothing's happening, wonderful things happen, do they not? And that's what you look for. You look for all the wonderful things that are happening. Each morning, excuse me, each morning when you get up, say to yourself, what does God have in store for me today? What wonderful thing does God have in store for me today? And then go out and find that wonderment. It's out there for you. It's out there for you. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power there is, and that power is a power for creativity. And I feel that creativity in every cell of my body. I realize that I am creative, and I can create. And right here and right now, I create a wonderful, marvelous, joyful life for myself. A life filled with prosperity and abundance and money. And I open myself to all the wonderful, wonderful gifts of the universe. I know perfectly well that I deserve them, and I am open to receive. And I let that be so, and so it is. I had a race mind alert. I was talking to somebody on the telephone, and they were telling me that this happened and that happened. And then they said, you know, if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Now, they absolutely believe that, and that's a belief system that they have. And, of course, that's going to excuse me, that's going to happen to them. But that's a race mind. Many people out there think that only bad things are happening to them. Bad things never have to happen to you, by the way. You can change your belief system. This person I could have corrected, but I didn't. It wasn't my job. I learned years ago from Dr. Bitzer. He said to me, Dallas, if they're asleep, let them sleep. It is not your job to wake people. See, it's not my job to wake people. My job is to present things. And you come and hear them. But I don't drag you in here. I don't wake you up to come in here. You are awake when you come. But people say, oh, why didn't you do? Why didn't you help those people? Well, they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. You cannot help them. And the person I was talking to was completely in to race mind and knew perfectly well that if bad things are going to happen to anyone, they're going to happen to her. Now, how do you change that belief system? You people can change it because you realize that it's your thinking. She has no idea that her thinking is running her life. She has no idea that she's creating. And why does she have no idea that she's creating? I have a big one for that. I know exactly why. She's Christian. And Christians cannot create. Only God can create for Christians. And Christians have a race mindset that they must suffer. That they must suffer. That bad things have to happen to them. That has been a tenet of Christianity since before the 15th century. Everyone believed the worse it was here, the better it would be in the afterlife. If you suffered here and you had to suffer here because Christ suffered here, and if you could suffer along with Christ, you could go to heaven.
Entirely discounting the legend that he suffered to take it on himself so he would have it.
Yes. Of course, they never think of that one. You know. But anyway, we can change our thinking. We don't have to think those thoughts anymore. See, that's old. Most of the thinking in most religions is outdated and antiquated. Anytime that you hear any religion tell you that God is out to get you, run the other way. God is here to help you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never does that. So this young lady, when she wakes up, she'll wake up. Or she'll live out her rest of her life thinking those thoughts and think this is what life is. And she's probably enjoying it somewhere along the line. But it's no way to go through life. Absolutely no way to go through life. So don't do it to yourself. Yes.
How do you determine when someone's awake and ready to receive the information, or do you wait until they ask?
Well, you always wait till they ask.
Yeah, so you can't, like, see somebody who's...
You can make a suggestion. Have you ever thought of thinking this way? And see where you get with that.
Yeah. The other day I was driving to work. I drive down Hollywood Boulevard. And you see plenty of stuff on Hollywood Boulevard. And I'm working for a production company that does reality programming. And I saw a person in just a... dead rat, waving the hands and bobbing the head and the mouth open and wailing in the street. And I'm going, you know, I think it would be a fascinating experiment in a reality program thing to see if you can take that person and heal them with spiritual treatment alone. But what I hear is that that person has to be ready for it. You can't just go out and...
The person always has to be ready for it. The only thing you can do for that person is when you look at anybody, you have to know that they're whole, complete, and perfect. You have to know that they're whole, complete, and perfect. There's no such thing as somebody wailing and going. You look at them and say, oh, whole, complete, and perfect. Because it has to be God. You see, it has to be God. That's all there is God. So that person has to be God like you're God. But you can't. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. That goes back to the freedom. We have a freedom to think what we want to think, to believe what we want to believe. And the young lady that I was talking about, she has chosen to believe that if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to her. And in a room of 10 people, she'll be the one that the bad things happen to. She's already made her mind up on that. And that will always work for it, because that's this great big thing that everyone's talking about, the secret and all. That's the law of attraction. If you think that this is going to happen, then you're firmly trenched in that. It's going to happen for you. It's going to happen for you. I watched it in my family when I was growing up. That was long before I realized there was something called religious science or science of mind, or that your mind had anything to do. Well, I would hear my parents say, we always buy a lemon of a car, and they always got a lemon. And they always got a lemon. And then they would say, I heard them say to people, well, we bought another lemon. We always get the lemon. And they were always going to get the lemon. You see, if you think you're going to get the lemon, you're always going to get the lemon. So think that you're always going to get the best. Think that you're always going to get the best, because you deserve the best. You see. And you'll start changing that whole thing. But start with small things. And always start with reasonable things. You have to always start with something reasonable. You see, your subconscious mind will take anything that you tell it and make something out of it. But only if the conscious mind believes it. That's the little twist that they don't tell you. So you can do affirmations up one side and down the other. But if you don't believe the affirmation with the conscious mind, the subconscious mind is not going to believe it. Make sense? So it has to be reasonable. But your conscious mind says it's reasonable. That's why with money, prosperity and abundance, people want money. But they always start out with, oh, I want $1 million. Have you ever had $1 million? Do you know how big $1 million is? Well, no. But you want $1 million, yes. Is it reasonable? No. And their mind cannot make it reasonable. So you start with something that's reasonable. 50,000. Ah, that's reasonable. Then when you get the 50, you move it up to 100,000. You move it up. You keep moving it up. That's the old thing when they say the first million is the hardest to make. The first million is always going to be the hardest to make, because you have to stretch your consciousness. You have to stretch your consciousness to $1 million. Once you get to $1 million, a second million comes very easy. People think it's because, oh, I have $1 million, and so that makes it easy. No, it's because the first million is always the hardest. The first thing you ever do is always the hardest, isn't it? Because you have to stretch your consciousness till you make yourself believe it. If you're running a marathon, you can't run the marathon if you've never practiced, if you've never stretched yourself. You see, that's not reasonable. Could I jump out of the chair today and say, oh, I've got to run a marathon tomorrow? My mind would say, well, hell, that's not reasonable, Dallas. Well, you're nuts. You're crazy. Oh, well, I think I could walk 2 blocks. Oh, that's reasonable. Yeah, you can walk 2 blocks. Then I can walk 2 more blocks. And I just keep walking and walking like that till I'm able to do the marathon. I've stretched myself. I've stretched myself. Think of your consciousness as a muscle that you have to work, that you have to stretch. The nice thing, though, about consciousness is, once it's stretched, It can never go back. That's why I tell people. They make $50,000, they lose their job, and they say, oh, I'll never get a job. Yes, you will, because you always have to come up to the same amount or more because your consciousness is already there. And you do that. You don't get a $50,000 job and then go out and take a $30,000 job. You take a $60,000 job because your consciousness has stretched itself. And that's what it's about. But it has to be reasonable. So when you can make, if you do an affirmation, all right, an affirmation. Money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. Can my mind accept that? Well, yes, my mind can accept it. Is that reasonable? Yeah, that's reasonable. So now my subconscious mind takes that and does something with it. But if I say, I make $1 million every day, my mind goes, oh, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. So it can't drop down. You can try to drop it down to your subconscious mind. But your subconscious mind is not going to work on it. It's not going to make it because it's not reasonable. Does that make sense to you? So when you want something, check it out with your conscious mind first. This is the conscious mind, or the waking mind, or the walking around mind, is the mind that we use. And you have to learn to train it so that you can then drop things into the subconscious mind. But anything you're doing, you always have to stretch your consciousness. You have to stretch your consciousness. Can anyone tell me what would help stretch your consciousness?
Imagination.
Well, yes, you always are using your imagination, but if you believe, if you know you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, it stretches your consciousness. Because when you're here and you don't think you matter, you're going to stay there. But you say, oh, I matter. Whoops. Oh, I'm worthy. Whoops. Oh, I'm lovable. Whoops. And it keeps expanding. Your consciousness keeps expanding. See, it's just these little things. That's why I do that for you every time. That's stretching you. That's stretching you. And is there anyone here that since we've been doing that hasn't found themselves thinking about it and other things came into your life because of it? Because you stretched yourself. You see, you have to stretch yourself. You have to fit into what you want. You have to fit in to what you want. You see? Just like putting on a garment. You have to fit into that. So you have to stretch your consciousness to fit into those things. And that's what people fail to do.
Dallas, how about the people that, let's use an example, that have a $50,000 job?
Yes.
And out of fear, so they take a $40,000
job? Yes.
How does that work for someone like that? They went backwards. Instead of taking the 60,000, instead of getting the 60,000, they manifest the 40,000.
Yes, because they didn't think they were worthy, deserving, totally level one, that they mattered, so they settled for something less than. You see, most people in life are always settling for less than. You're always settling for less than. And the person on the other side of the table always wants you to settle for less than. Don't do it. Don't settle for less than, you see.
It always seems relative to wherever you are. I can't remember the name of the movie, but I remember Val Kilmer was in it. It was like this international assassin or something. And there's a running gag in it where he's putting money into his Swiss bank account and he goes, I just can't seem to crack $30 million. And he does that like all the way through the movie. He like gets up close to it. And he can't crack $30 million. And I found myself, I found myself where there's these roadblocks and it's relative to what you're doing, or, you know, I had a time where I couldn't seem to crack $20,000, for instance, on one project. And it just never could. I'd get right up to it and then I'd lose right into it. So
that was a belief system, and that's a belief system in operation. So now you say.
And then you find yourself saying. Yes. Because you've done it a couple of times.
Yes.
And then now you've made it a materialized it. You've made it physical for yourself.
Yes.
It's not just a belief system at that point.
No.
I mean, it still is, but I mean,
you've
made it, you know what I'm saying.
Right. Belief creates experience. Experience does not create belief, but it happens simultaneously and so quickly that it looks like it's the experience that's doing it. But somewhere in his mind, he could not go past 20,000. So he couldn't stretch past that. He'll never be able to stretch past that till he says, ah, look, I know this is a pattern. I know this is the belief system, and it's no longer in my life, and it's no longer in my mind and my thinking, because I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And then you sit down and you say, there's plenty of money in the universe, and it can come to me. I do not have to settle for less than 20,000. And you say to yourself, I have the talent. I've done a good job. I didn't scrimp on these people. I gave them everything that I had. Therefore, the universe must pay me for that. The universe must pay me for that. But what we do when we're right there, we think, maybe I didn't do a good enough job. Maybe they didn't like what I was doing. And we bring in all those little things. And then your consciousness doesn't shrink. The whole idea in life is to convince your mind of what you want and make it produce it for you. You have to convince your mind that what you want, and then it produces it for you. See, that's what the mind does. The mind, that subconscious mind, is the creative mind. It's the one that creates. And we can all do that. But we have to get past those roadblocks, those different things. But you recently had an aha experience, didn't you? You were able to ask for the money or accept the money.
Accept the money.
He was able to accept the money instead of saying, oh, no, that's all right, don't pay me that much money. This time he said, oh yeah, good, I'll take it. You see?
And it's made me think about it a lot more that way, where I'm really conscious of the way I think, of what I say and what I do, my reactions to them. It's made me kind of wake up to that, because in the past, that wouldn't have been that big a deal. I would have felt like that was polite, that, you know, he wanted to overpay me.
I hate the light. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Oh, I'll be polite. Mm-hmm. You're saying, you can be just as polite by saying, thank you, I'll take that, and more, please. You can still remain polite. But you had an aha experience. You had a wonderful experience. Now he realizes he's watching his thinking. He's watching his words. He's broken through that. Money is going to just keep coming to you. And your financial situation is going to reverse itself completely. It's going to be what I call a reversal of fortune. Because he started to think correctly. And he started to see himself differently. And now he's not going to let that barrier stop him. He knows he can do it. And that's what you have to know. You have to know that you can do it. And you just keep knocking at that door till it opens. You just keep knocking till it opens. Don't give up. But he had an aha experience. He finally, after coming to classes, after thinking, and he's been in this teaching forever, not with me, but with other people also. But it takes something finally. He said, oh my God, it's my thinking that's doing that. Because you can sit here and we can talk about it all the time, it's your thinking. But till you finally see your mind doing it to you. And that's what you have to do. You see, it's that whole idea of becoming a witness to your own thinking. You became a witness to your thinking. You saw what you were thinking. And now you realize that you're not your thinking. You're here watching it. Ah, but I don't like that thinking. Now, this one can change that one. And that's what you do. And that's wonderful. Yes?
I had a experience a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't good money. I didn't realize how awful it was and how much I was doing it. But this time, I just went and called the agency and asked them to send somebody else before I could go, that I could see myself heading to that place.
Yes.
And then it took a while until we got someone else, and I was beginning to think, well, maybe I should stick with this man, maybe I could advise him.
And here again, it boils down to the thing that I say constantly. You're always moving from your good to your greater good. And regardless what's in front of you and you think nothing could be any better than this, something is always better because you're moving from your good to your greater good.
If you're willing to
move. But most people want to hang on to this because they don't have enough faith to let go of this to get this. And you have to let go.
And fear comes into that, doesn't it?
Fear. Fear always comes in, yes. And fear attracts faster than anything else and destroys faster than anything else. So when fear comes in, tell it also to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. That's all. You don't have to pound yourself against the wall, but you have to talk to your mind firmly and you say, no, this is not what I want. I have to say to myself sometimes, like last week, wasn't it? Dallas, this is not who you want to be. Don't do that. This is not who I want to be. Don't do that. I have to correct myself. And then I go down the other road. Otherwise, I remain, you see. I remain. Tonight's topic. We finally always get around to the topic, you know. Yes, I do. Is identity. And what do I mean by that? What is your identity? Who are you identifying with? And your identity comes from God. Not from outside world, not from your parents, but from God. So know your identity. Know who you are. Who are you? If somebody asks you, who are you? What are you prepared to say? Are you prepared to say, I'm an emissary of light and love? I'm an individualized expression of God. I am pure spirit in operation. Or what is your identity? I'm poor, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. You have to know what your identity is. And what are you identifying with? I'm always identifying with what? Prosperity, abundance, and money. I'm always identifying with those things. Always. When I walk through my house, I look around and I say, oh, Dallas, you live in splendor. You live in absolute splendor. You have to do that, whether you're living in a hovel. See, if you walk around and you're living in a hovel and you say, I live in a hovel, where are you going to live? In a hovel. If you live there and you keep saying, "Ah, I live in splendor," guess what's going to happen? Splendor is going to. The hovel is going to change. The hovel is going to change. I had a young man for counseling. Just correct that one. He wanted to move. And I said, well, start loving where you live. I started thinking, I have to move out of this place. Well, this is 2 years now, and the person hasn't moved. Why? Because all of a sudden, he fixed the place up. They painted the building. They painted his apartment. They gave him this. He went out and bought that. He started to make the place that he wanted. He started to make the place that he wanted. You see? Does anyone remember the old thing? Bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you're planted. Don't think that's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence syndrome. Make the grass on your side of the fence the greenest. Stay at home. Do your work. Change your environment. Change your environment. I moved into many seedy neighborhoods in my life when I was in the real estate business. I wasn't in those places very long till the whole neighborhood would start to shift, till they would paint the buildings, till they would carpet the hallways, till they would put in burglar alarm systems and entrance systems and all that. And I took full credit for that, by the way. That was my consciousness that went out because I live in splendor. Because I live in splendor. And the things around me changed. Because things around you change. Why? Does anyone know why things around you change?
Because your consciousness.
Because you've raised your consciousness, that it has to match your outside world has to match your consciousness. Your outside world has to match your consciousness. Think of that. The outside world has to match your consciousness. So, identify. Have an identity with God. You don't have to go shouting up from the rooftops or run into a room and immediately scream, "Ha ha, I'm connected with God," and all that. But you have to know that inside of you. You have to know where your identity is. People throw you out, you know, at some point.
I found a wonderful mantra last week. I approve of myself.
Yes. Yes. Always. You have to approve of yourself. Who else is going to approve of you if you don't? The reason why we always have to approve of ourselves, the reason why we always have to love ourselves, the reason why we always have to keep ourselves in the highest of esteem is because God does that, and we are part of God. All that we are is God, but we are not all that God is. So we have to do that for ourselves. And it's not a lie. And that's reasonable, and your mind will accept that, by the way. Your mind will accept that. And sometimes we have to work a little for our mind to accept it. Because we've held another idea for so long about ourselves. But we can do it. So think of your identity. Who am I? Who am I? How many times have you heard, "I'm a child of God"? Start with that one. Hasn't everyone heard that? "I'm a child of God"? No, you haven't heard that? Churches always say that, don't they? Did I make that up? Yes. So, you already know that you're a child of God. Now start identifying with that and start knowing what that means. You see? That you absolutely have all the exact same attributes as God. You have the exact same attributes as God. There's no other things that can happen to you. So know those things about yourself. Identify with God. Use that as your identity. Instead of I'm a this or I'm a that. I'm a child of God. I'm an emissary of light and love. You see? Change your whole life. It's done with the identity. You have to know who you are. And who you are is wonderful. Who you are is wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.